It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, in your day, the Refreshing.
Amen. God bless you all this morning. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We wish you a happy new week. Today is, June the 4th, and it's Sunday. We thank God for each of you. It's time now for our opening prayer. My wife, Undreamed Of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Good morning. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, loving Lord, we thank you for your watch care throughout the night. We thank you for giving us another opportunity to be able to serve you on this day. And now we pray for your spirit to come and teach us the things we need to know as you anoint the words of our pastor, fill him with your spirit. And as always, help us to grow in grace and in wisdom. For this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time for Christian. It's about
title, brother. brothers and sisters, is fasting to commit murder. Fasting to commit murder. We are studying Acts 23, and in Acts 22, we learned that Paul, after being abused, let the Romans know, or when they were about to abuse him further, that he was a Roman. And then, of course, they started treating him. They became afraid because of their law. They started treating him with much more respect. And the chief captain, I believe it was, called for the Jews to come, and they set Paul before them. He set Paul before them so he might know what is this that they are, what is their issue with him. He hasn't really found out why they have an issue with Paul. And they don't have an issue with Paul according to Roman law, but they're trying to get him killed. Let's pray. Father, bless us now as we study Acts 23 in Jesus' name. Amen. Fasting to commit murder. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, "God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law?" You see, Paul knew both the Roman law and he knew the Jewish law. And they would violate the Jewish law even in having him smitten before he had even been properly condemned. And they that stood by said, "Revilest thou God's high priest?" You know, this is an interesting lesson, brothers and sisters, because, again, some of you all weren't able to hear the message yesterday. One of the fundamentals, he had a message called the mental fun of fundamentals. Mental fun is peace. That's what it is. When your brain cells are just clapping and you're happy and you're in joy, content with what you have, you're at peace. And you're not at peace unless you're following fundamentals. So the mental fun of fundamentals, one of those fundamentals was Protestantism. And Protestantism is a fundamental that causes the believer to protest against two abuses. Most Protestants don't even know what Protestantism is. The abuses were the civil magistrate interfering with your conscience. So it was said to be the intrusion of the civil magistrate. You would think of it as the combination of church and state. It always brings persecution. The Jews had to bring Jesus to the Romans to kill him. The Jews are now trying to get the Romans to kill Paul, okay? Daniel went into the lion's den because they made a law regarding prayer. You follow what I'm saying? The three Hebrew boys went into the fiery furnace because Nebuchadnezzar made a law, that's the magistrate, civil magistrate, about bowing down to worship a golden idol. And so, my brothers and sisters, we are to protest against the government coming in. If you have a statement in scripture that says whatever goes in your body, it says whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God, and you don't feel that it will glorify God for you to have something stuck in your arm, okay, that's a religious principle. And when the state comes in and says we're not going to recognize that, that's protest. But what happened with that was that the churches compromised and they got scared and they would not stand up and say, "This is what we believe. This is what we believe the Bible said." They were the ones saying the Bible does not in any way condemn you putting anything that science says is good. And we've now known that the whole process was man-made. The Trump administration said it was man-made. The Biden administration has said it was man-made. This is just now news, okay? It's not even controverted. So this, and we also found out that while we were told that science-backed a certain thing that the data actually showed that one out of 40 people in a particular clinical trial, while we were told it was safe, actually died within 3 months. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you we need to trust God. So Protestantism being a fundamental, the second was the arbitrary authority of the church. Remember I told you it was a protest against two abuses in matters of religion. The church does not have arbitrary authority. The church has authority, but it's not arbitrary authority. A pastor can't rightfully tell you, you do what I say because I'm the pastor, and he doesn't give you a biblical reason why it must be done. That is arbitrary authority. We aren't to follow that. We're to protest against that, okay? A church can't say, hey, we've made a decision. A group of people in Bethel, that's Jehovah's Witnesses, can't say, we hear from God and only we hear from God, and you have to follow what we say because we hear from God, as though the individual can't hear from God. See, that goes totally against the scriptures. You see, the scriptures were the noble Bereans heard what the bishops or whoever they would be would say, but then they searched the scriptures themselves to see whether it was correct. And Paul the apostle commended them for that. And see, that's why people can be brainwashed because of arbitrary authority, and they don't understand the only authority is the word of God. But the Roman Catholic Church said the church is above the Bible, and they passed on that lie to Protestants. So even though they're not Catholic, so to speak, they believe that whatever their church tradition is above the pure word of God, even though they stand on the word of God, so they say. Okay? So my brothers and sisters, these are powerful principles. So he said, revilest thou the high priest? No, he's telling the high priest, you're not following your law. Then said Paul, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope of and resurrection of the dead am I called in question. You see, he believed that Jesus had died and resurrected, so he wasn't lying. But the Pharisees believed in resurrection, but the Sadducees didn't, and they were against each other. They didn't like each other. They hated each other, yet they came together to try to kill Paul because they hated Jesus more. So, brothers and sisters, understand these are themes that we need to understand, for that will help us. Now, when you are connected to God, he will tell you what to say in the moment. That's why we need to be much in prayer and seeking God and just asking for his wisdom, because in the moment, God says, tell him you're a Pharisee and tell him you're called into question in the hope of the resurrection because of Jesus being resurrected from the dead. And look and see what it did. And when he had said so, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. Now, you have to understand, there's a Roman captain watching all this, okay? And he now realizes, but you see, he still didn't have the courage to do what he should do. But he now realizes this isn't anything dealing with Roman law. This is some of their own Jewish questions. He should have released Paul immediately. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, we find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel hath spoken to him, let us not fight against God. You see, they weren't converted. They were just fighting for their own doctrinal statements and positions. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring him into the castle. And the night following the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem. So must thou bear witness also at Rome. Remember, we learned that it was not God's perfect will because the Holy Spirit had spoken twice. You're going to be bound. And I will tell you, brothers and sisters, Paul will never be released from confinement. That was a choice Paul made. He wanted to share his faith in Jerusalem. God allowed it. God did not tell him to do it, but God allowed it. And now, as the decision had been made, God told him, you're going to also have the opportunity to share your faith in Rome. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And when they were more than 40, and they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy, so you had over 40 people that said, listen, we're going to kill him or we won't even eat. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse that we eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now, brothers and sisters, here's the chief priest. It's like the general conference president, the pope, whoever's the chief leader in a church, presidents of churches. They're coming to him and say, we want to commit cold-blooded murder, and we will do it for the cause that you aspire. What kind of sense does that make? It just shows you that they were evil people, even for the high priest to even acknowledge it and accept that offer. Now, therefore, ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down to you tomorrow, as though ye would inquire something more perfectly concerning him. And we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him. Meaning that they told the chief priest, just tell the captain you just want to ask him some more questions to understand his position a little better. And when he comes down, we're going to kill him. When Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him. So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who have something to say to thee. Then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, what is it that thou hast to tell me? He said, the Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldest bring down Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for there lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink, so they have killed him. Now they are ready, looking for a promise from thee. So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, see thou tell no man that thou hast showed these things to me. And he called unto him two centurions, saying, make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 70, and spearmen 200, and at the third hour of the night, and provide them beasts that they may set Paul on and bring him safe unto Felix the governor. And he wrote a letter after this manner, Claudius Lysias, unto the most excellent governor Felix, send this greeting. This man was taken of the Jews and should have been killed of them. Then came I with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. When I would have known the cause whereof they accused him, I brought him forth into their council, whom I perceived to be accused of questions of their law, but to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or of bonds. So I said, I'm admitting that I shouldn't even be holding him. He's definitely not worthy of death. And when it was told me how that the Jews laid wait for the man, I sent straightway to thee to give and gave commandment to his accusers also to say before thee what they have against him. Farewell. That's the letter that he wrote to Felix. And then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. On the morrow they left the horsemen to go with him and return to the castle, who, when they came to Caesarea and delivered the epistle to the governor, presented Paul also before him. And when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he was. And when he understood that he was of Cilicia, I will hear thee, said he, when thine accusers are also come. And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall. Brothers and sisters, we live in an evil world. These were members of the church, band together, to avow not to eat a morsel until they had committed murder. Don't you think for one minute anything is different today? Brothers and sisters, if you teach the truth and you live the truth, you will have the enemies, and primarily they will come from the church, not the world, the church. And unfortunately, that's the way it is, but God has warned us. He has given us these things in Scripture, and so now we know how to arm ourselves with truth and with love and just commune with God and let him lead you, and he will tell you in all times what to do, where to go, what to say, and how to say it. All right, God bless you. Father, be with us this day. Thank you for this wonderful truth that you have given to us. and showing us that you gave Paul a proper, true, godly GPS, play-by-play directions, turn-by-turn directions as to what he should say in these trying hours, in his trying hour. We pray that you will continue to bless us, Lord, and as we are in a new week, we pray for healing. We pray for success and your spirit to abide with us, that we will always live for Jesus in every moment. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. We ask that now as we transition to wellness, that you bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my friends, we're going to be talking about how to starve cancer when we come back. At this time, we will have our torso song and an intermission.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon. Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Corso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave, in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Amen. Our topic today is how to starve cancer. In order for you to know how to starve cancer, you need to understand cancer. So what is cancer? How does it form? Well, in order for our cells to be healthy, we primarily need two things to get energy in the cell, I should say. That is, you need oxygen and you need fuel, which is glucose. So you need glucose, which is blood sugar, and you need oxygen. That helps to provide energy in the form of ATP for the cells. And if either of those is lacking, you're having a problem. So when the cell is healthy, sodium, calcium, and magnesium bring in oxygen. And then potassium, of course, through the pathway of insulin and all that, brings in your blood sugar. When your cell gets damaged because of toxins, and poisons that we bring in or don't eliminate, and so they become toxic. That's called autointoxication. When the body doesn't eliminate its waste or when harmful chemicals come in, toxins build up in either case, and it damages the walls of the cell. When the cell walls are damaged, then they don't allow the sodium, magnesium, and calcium to enter in, and therefore, there's a depletion of oxygen. So oxygen is not, the oxygen carriers are not allowed in because the cell wall is damaged. The potassium, however, can still get in, bringing in the glucose. So you end up, when you have damaged cell walls because of toxins, you end up with sugar in the cell but no oxygen. So basically, you've got fuel, but you don't have air intake. If this was an engine of a car, you wouldn't have any air intake in order to have a combustion. So you have to have air intake. That's why you have an air filter in your car, and you have to have fuel, which is gasoline or diesel or whatever, and then you have to have a spark, okay? So when you don't have the fuel because, in this case, you wouldn't have the air intake. You would just have the fuel in there. You can't actually make energy the way you normally would. So the body being fearfully and wonderfully made, as God says it is, it has to resort to an alternative way of making energy. And what is that alternative way? It can take that fuel, that sugar, that glucose inside the cell, and it can use a process called fermentation. And fermentation does produce energy. That's why, although I'm not a drinker, I've seen where you can take the cork off a wine bottle that's been sitting there for a while. It started off as grape juice. They put the cork on the grape juice, let it sit for years or whatever they do. And then when they pull the thing off, it goes across the room. That means energy had been built up in that fermentation process, okay? So fermentation creates energy. It's not perfect energy. It's just enough energy to cause a broken record. You remember how a scratch record, it would just, you know, come to a certain point and keep repeating, come to a certain point and keep repeating, come to a certain point and keep repeating in a scratch record. So it knows how to multiply itself, but not to make healthy cells. Doesn't have enough energy to do all that, just enough energy for replication. And that is what causes cancers, when the cell begins to divide and multiply at a very, very fast rate out of control. And that is caused by fermentation. So what do we have to do when we are dealing with cancer? You've got to starve it. Since it is fueled by sugar, you have to eliminate some of the sugars that you're putting in your body. That would obviously be in the form of sugar, honey and those types of things, and sugar and maple syrup and all of that. But it even goes to fruits for the most part. We use lemon. We use a little Granny Smith apple. But for the most part, we don't eat fruit when we're trying to starve cancer. So our meals become vegetable meals. Our juices become primarily vegetable juices. Again, lemon, Granny Smith apple, which are more tart, are allowed, and that helps to allow it to be palatable. So you have to starve the cancer. And all the while, you're putting and building up your immune system with hydrotherapy. You're building up your immune system with herbs, building up your immune system even with the juices and with prayer, of course. And that's how you do it, friends. All the while, I would, if it was me, I would be taking coffee enemas because that increases glutathione and it also increases the rate of cancer cell depletion, the power of the acids from the cancer cell, which the liver can get rid of, that process of getting rid of those acids. Because what actually fuels the actual cancer development, the sugar becomes the raw material, but what actually fuels it, when there is fermentation, it produces lactic acid, sometimes called, in another form, called lactate, and lactate becomes the fuel for cancer. So you've got to have fermentation. Fermentation produces lactate. What causes the fermentation? The presence of sugar without oxygen. And so when you get more oxygen in and start healing damaged cells and start flushing out those toxins through just starving it, actually, you can actually overcome cancer. And so, of course, God is the healer. God doesn't heal everyone. But I will tell you something, brothers and sisters. You know, my wife and I happen to know someone that is in their 90s and was recently prescribed chemotherapy. And really, really sad, you know. The doctors actually know that the individual, even though they discovered breast cancer, she's 93, she would probably die of it, or with it rather than of it, you know, at that age. And, you know, to actually put a 93-year-old, she's a healthy 93-year-old, but we saw that the, you know, you can see sometimes the effects that that has on the body. So just be aware that, be careful. Let's just follow God's health principles. Just poisoning cancer cells is not the solution, because that poisons good cells too. And so later on, the good cells will succumb to it and the cancer will basically return in most cases. All right, friends, that's our message on how to starve cancer. Roll call time. We thank each one of you for joining us today. And we have representation from South Carolina, from North Carolina, from Indiana, from Virginia. Not sure where our brother Brian is from, but I think that might be Missouri. I'm not sure. But if I'm wrong, just type in where you're from. But on the call, we have Ohio. We have Maryland. We have Delaware, and Delaware again. We have Ohio again, and we have Georgia. I was told, unfortunately, that the Zoom audio was not good yesterday. It was not our Zoom. It was the church's Zoom. So I will tell you, we preached a message called The Mental Fun of Fundamentals. And mental fun is just another two-word phrase that means peace. So when we follow the fundamentals of the Bible, we have peace. That's what it was all about. And so we just gave examples of fundamentals. A fundamental is Jeremiah 1:5, where God gave the gender of Jeremiah as a prophet, not a prophetess, and said that he knew that gender and he had sanctified him and ordained him as such before he was even formed in the womb. So if I think I'm a girl or if I feel like a girl and I'm not really a boy, then I just have to understand the fundamental is I trust what God did and that he did this before. So I know he doesn't make mistakes. That's fundamental. That would do away with all the stress. We read an actual scientific fact that is posted on the web about how much, like one in every four transgenders have HIV/AIDS and are denied, often denied health care because of their transgender status. And I don't understand that fully. I don't know if because they can't necessarily state that they're a woman when they're a man or that they're a man when they're a woman, so they just they can't fill out the form. I don't know what that means, but I do know as far as the discrimination, but I do know that even without the discrimination, if I have HIV/AIDS and one out of every four of us do, that's not peace. That's not mental fun. And why isn't it mental fun? Because I didn't follow. Why do I have it? Because I didn't follow a fundamental. See? And so we just went through a lot of different fundamentals. Several. You can't go through all of them in a sermon. You can't go through all of them in a lifetime. There's a plethora of biblical principles, and we're constantly growing in them, learning them. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That's a fundamental. When we love God's law, we're not easily offended. So when we're easily offended, we need to grow and be more Christ-like, because great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. We talked about the fundamental of Protestantism, which I discussed in the first part of our message, that it is a protest against the coming of the government interfering with our religion, and it is a protest against churches declaring that they have arbitrary authority. They don't. They don't have arbitrary authority. They only have authority when they stand on the Word of God, and most churches fully aren't doing that. So, my brothers and sisters, that's what it was about. For those of you who might have tried to listen or those who just missed it completely, that was what that message was about. We just dealt with a lot of fundamentals. They're basically biblical principles, and if we would live by them, we can have peace. It's not required that we have money to have peace. It's not required that we are out of jail to have peace, because it's a peace that passes all understanding. God promises great peace. He promises perfect peace. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So we had a wonderful time in the Word yesterday. All right, is there anyone that would like to share anything? Please press *6. If you would like to share anything, we have about 20 minutes to the top of the hour, and we would love to hear from you. Is there anyone? All right, we've got our mother in Israel, Mother Harriet, on the line. We'll take her call at this time. Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor, and your dear wife, Sister Maria, and all that on the line. I thank God for your ministry and for you and your dear wife. I pray for you every day. But I know that you're able to give advice in different areas. I would like you to, if it's possible for you to call me today. I need to tell you something and ask you something in spite of it.
Sure. Will do.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're more than welcome. All right. Is there anyone else? Just press *6 if you have a comment, question, testimony, prayer request. We'd love to hear from you. All right, friends, God is good. Well, thank you all for joining us today. And at this time, we will have my wife, Undreamed Up, close us out with prayer.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that each of us would take time to study, continue in asking your Holy Spirit to teach us the things we need to know as we continue to grow in grace and wisdom, been able to share things with others, and been able to draw us closer to you. We ask that you would bless everyone in a special way and continue to provide healings for all of us, spiritually, mentally, physically. And Lord, we pray that we would be ever so faithful to you. Keep us in the perfect center of your will, Lord, is our prayer to you this morning, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now undreamed of. God bless you.
Amen. Our closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord.